Welcome, everyone. Hold on, turn on the recorder. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Masechet Ta'anit from Web Yeshiva and Mishkan Tzipora in Efrat. I'm Jeffrey Sachs. There's Mishkan Tzipora with less than a minion. But, you know, the important people made it. We are on Daf Yud, having concluded the very long Agadic passages from leading up to Daf Yud, we now turn our attention back to halachic matters. The Mishnah says, here we are with the Mishnah. The Mishnah, in the middle of Daf Yud Omer Aleph, says, B'shlosha b'mar cheshvan sho'alin et hagshamim. On the third of Cheshvan, which is, you know, not so long after Simchas Torah, you start asking for rain. We start asking for rain by saying V'satein talu matar levracha in the ninth bracha of the Amidah, in the bracha of Berech Aleinu, Baruch Ata Hashem Mevarech Hashanim. That's to be distinguished from Mashiv Haruch Amrina Goshem, which we spoke about briefly earlier on in the Masechta. Mashiv Haruch Amrina Goshem, which is said at the beginning of the Amidah, which we start saying on Musaf of Shmini Atzeret, here in Eretz Yisrael, Mashiv Haruch Amrina Goshem is not exactly a request for rain, it is a praise of God. You remember, that's how we launched the long Agadot, long series of Agadot, because we were talking about why that bracha was instituted in the bracha of Mechayei HaMetim, that God has the powers to revive the dead. And to what degree is the bringing of rain parallel to the reviving of the dead, in the kind of scope of God's many mighty powers? This, V'tein talu matal v'racha, is a request. We are asking the mighty God who blesses the years and controls the climate, which determines the agricultural produce, to please give us talu matar, dew and rain for a blessing. And the Mishnah says we start doing that on the third of Cheshvan. Rabbi Gamliel Omer b'shivabo, not on the third of Cheshvan, but on the seventh of Cheshvan, chamisha asar yom achar hachag, 15 days after Shmini Atzeret, you start saying V'tein talu matar levracha kedei shiyagia achron shebiyisrael lenahar prat, so that the last stragglers of the pilgrims, the Jewish pilgrims that had come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to celebrate Sukkot, would be able to get back in time before it starts raining. So here's a map from the newer edition of the Steinsaltz Gemara of how people went. So in other words, if this is Yerushalayim, there were two main routes to get back to Bavel. Bavel, hold on, let me see if I can get this here. Right? Bavel, when we talk about Bavel, we're really talking about this area here. Maybe it extends a little bit more. Right? The three main yeshivot, the three main yeshivot of Bavel, the three centers of Jewish life, were in Nahardo and Pumbedita, which were a little more to the north, to the northwest, and Sura, which was a little more to the south. Here along the banks of the Nahar Prat, the Euphrates River. Now the truth is, the most direct route from Yerushalayim to there would go straight line like this, straight line almost due east. However, that takes you basically right through the desert. And even though as the crow flies, it was a shorter way to go, in fact, the majority of the trade routes and the majority of which would allow you to travel through different population centers, through Damascus and etc., took you up in a route like this, which actually was quite a bit longer as the crow flies, but but was a much safer route because the caravans traveled along those roads. You were passing through settled territories where there were cities and etc. And moving at a clip of around 30 or 40 kilometers a day to get from Yerushalayim to those centers.
30-40 kilometers a day.
Yeah, but in other words, if you're traveling with escorts, so more or less you can make that trip in about 15 days. In about 15 days.
That seems very quick to me, that length of a trip. 15 days. It always seemed kind of quick.
Yeah, yeah.
40 kilometers a day it depends how they were traveling.
Yeah, well, they were traveling by camel, by wagon, they weren't going on foot.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't mean that there was nobody who took longer than 15 days. But the calculation of 15 days was probably based upon some kind of average, right? You know, like they're like in Yerushalayim. In normal times, not in Corona times. In normal times, they're like busy tourist seasons, right? Like we know that a lot of people come to Yerushalayim for vacation on Pesach. And we know a lot of people come for vacation on Sukkot. And we know a lot of people come for vacation in the summer. And we know that there are seasons that are low. So like if the area of Yerushalayim wanted to do some road work, you know, or they wanted to paint the streets, you know, like around Jabotinsky and King David and Keren HaYesod, you know, like where all the hotels are, where all the fancy Jews come from Bavel, or at least from the five towns, right? So probably there's somebody in the area who knows, well, it's not a good idea to do that between Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
There's a lot. It will take them 3 years to do it.
No, but they have a sense that there are times where it's better to do things, and times where it's less good. If we want to close down, the first station. You remember the first station? People used to go there in the old days when we left the house. So if you want to close down the first station, you probably don't do it, again, in a non-corona year, you probably don't do it during the Chol HaMoed. It's a very busy season. They know that that's the time to expect people. But they also know, like, when people leave. That doesn't mean all the tourists have left by 2 days after Simchas Torah. No. But they're pretty good at knowing exactly how much traffic goes through Ben Gurion on any given day in any given season. Even though there are some people that stay longer, some people that come earlier. Right, they're not promising that none of the Ole Regal are going to need galoshes, that none of the Ole Regal are going to need are going to get wet in the rain. They're just saying that by the 15th, that's right. You can't take the Mishnah literally as saying Achron Sheba Ole, Achron Sheba Israel Yegiul Inar Prat. Right, it means the last, like the last big bulk, and there'll always be people that follow up after that. Okay, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, what's the halacha?
The seventh,
we pass on like the seventh. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, halacha can Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Elazar says the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that we start on the 7th, and that in fact is the halacha. Tanya Hananya Omer, Uvagola ad shishim batkufa. That in Chutz La'aretz, you start on the 60th day after the tkufa. The tkufa is what we call the autumnal equinox. So if you count 60 days after what Chazal thought was the autumnal equinox, and I'm both happy and a little sad that Tom's not here, because he could explain to us actually how these things are calculated, but then it would show that I really don't understand it. 60 days after the autumnal equinox is December 4th or 5th. You remember the Sidurim in America? Hold on.
It's by the way, important to remember that the calculations that they had for the Tkufa were by the Julian calendar, not by the
Yes,
calendar.
Yes, that's why we have the 4th or 5th. The 4th or 5th, because of the adjustment of the Gregorian calendar. But if we have time, I'll come to that later. In the Birnbaum Sitter, you remember the Birnbaum Sitter? The Birnbaum Sitter, it's funny, I don't remember this way. It says, V'sein Bracha, from Pesach till December 4th. And the same Talumat Alevracha from December 4th until Pesach. But I thought I remember that it used to say December 4th or 5th. Maybe that's the art scroll says December 4th or 5th. Does anyone have an art scroll sitter handy?
I'll tell you in a second. Okay, so we're going December 4th or December 5th when there's an extra day in February.
Oh, that's interesting. They don't call it a leap year. Why don't they call it a leap year?
I'm looking at the Hebrew instructions, so I guess they didn't, maybe they didn't know what a Shana Mu'uberet was.
No, they didn't want to say Shana Mu'uberet because it would be confusing to a Hebrew leap year. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. In other words, in a leap year, when the Tkufa is pushed off by a day, so then it's December 5th is the 60th day afterwards. This becomes a question for the round numbers, 1800, 1900, 2000, 2100. Because in those years, even though those are not years that are divisible by four, right? The year 2000 was a year that was divisible by four. It was an Olympic year. You remember when the Olympics used to be every 4 years? It was a presidential election, the year 2000. Remember George W. Bush? But even though it was one every 4 years, it was not a leap year. Because leap years happen once in the Gregorian calendar. Leap years happen once every 4 years, but they get skipped on the round century numbers. Except in the year 2000 was an exception to the exception. There was a leap year in the year 2000. Is this correct? Because on the thousands is the exception to the exception.
No, the 400 years, not the thousands. The 400. Every 400 years you have an exception.
Every 400 years you have an exception. Okay.
I had a friend who got married on February 29th, 2000. We had a whole discussion about the significance of it being, you know, you had a leap year this year. You would have had a leap year 100 years ago.
Oh.
But I'm not sure it matters in terms of the December 4th, December 5th, because, like we said, the calculations are based on the...
Right, so...
It
matters for the halacha. It may not matter for the... It may not actually reflect the actual equinox.
Right. And again, if you say 60 days before December 5th, that's October 5th, which is not, you know, the equinox. That's 14 days later, approximately. So
right.
You have, you know, you're going to... That gap is probably the equivalent of what... you know, the days they added to the Gregorian calendar, you know, the 10 days,
yes,
whatever, they added,
yes,
you know, different,
yes,
things added,
yes,
different,
yes,
times.
Yes. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Halacha says that, so Hananya says, Hananya Omer, Uvagola ad Shishim Batkufa. Omar Rav Huna Barchia Omar Shmuel, Halacha ke Hananya. That in Chutz La'aretz, you don't start it on the 7th of Cheshvan, you start it 60 days after, which is how we get this December 4th or 5th. So the Gemara asks, Ini? Oh yeah? Is that true? Vaha bo'u mine mishmuel. Me'emat madkarinan. from when Mematai Mazkirin. When do we start saying Vetein Talumatar? Amar Luhu Michi Mayale Tsivi Leve Tabut Rishpa. So he gave a kind of enigmatic answer. He says, you know when we start saying Vetein Talumata Levracha? From the time that they bring the firewood into the house of Tabut the Rishpa. Rishpa probably means a kind of trapper or hunter, somebody who hunts little birds. So whether this was like an actual person or whether it was a kind of type of person, he said, start when we start saying Vetein Talumata Levracha, when this trapper starts bringing in the logs for the firewood. You know, like people that have like fireplaces, you know, like real lumberjacks, they go out with their plaid shirts on and they chop the firewood into those bricks, you know, logs that are pre-cut. But, you know, people that have fireplaces and are yuppies, they just have the firewood delivered. So you don't have firewood delivered in June, July, and August because you're not making fires then. So there's a time in the fall when the firewood shows up. So from the time that this guy starts bringing firewood into his house, that is when we start saying Vetein Talumata Levracha, meaning it's a siman that the rainy season is coming, that the cold season is coming upon us. When I was a kid, we had non-Jewish neighbors, and they had a Christmas tree, because that's their minhag. So if it wasn't improper to say so, he was a real yeke, this non-Jewish neighbor. He was like a man of very fixed habits. And he would not allow the Christmas tree in his house until 3 days before Christmas. You know, there are people that go out and they start getting, you know how it is now. You know, as soon as the summer is over, you go into the store. I was in America like in August, and they're already selling Halloween candy. Right? 2 months in advance. And the second Halloween is over, everything is Thanksgiving. And of course, everybody knows the second Thanksgiving is over, they start getting ready for the Christmas. So he had very strong feelings. You don't bring the Christmas tree in the house until 3 days before Christmas. And it has to be out of the house by Martin Luther King Day. When is Martin Luther King Day? It was just last week, right?
It was a week ago.
Right, but I think when we were kids, it was earlier. Didn't they change the date of it?
When we were kids, there was the Martin Luther King Day.
No, there was. Well, you and I were not kids at the same time, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
Right? The worst day of Christmas.
As you can see, you have a lot more hair than I do. You're much younger.
But it's a lot wider, though. Oh.
We have a very similar thing in Israel where about a week after Sukkot, they start selling Sufganiyot.
Yeah, Bidiuk. I remember when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, you could not get Sufganiyot. If you went into the store on Kaf Gimel Kislev looking for Sufganiyot, it was like the story of the Balei Musar, you know, going into the hardware store to order a pound of cheese. They looked at you like you were crazy. Right? And if you went the day after Hanukkah, Man dakar shme, you couldn't find a sufganiyot, right? And sufganiyot meant jelly. And to get caramel sufganiyot, you had to go to Uri's in Geula. It was the only place that had it, right? Nobody ever heard of pistachio sufganiyot and creme brulee sufganiyot and pizza-flavored sufganiyot and duck confit sufganiyot. Sufganiyot meant jelly, that was it. It's a mishagas what we have now. The millionaires and the billionaires with their sufganiyot. Oh, I'm channeling Bernie now. So he thought you had to get rid of it. So I didn't understand. I didn't know, like, what was the connection between, like, in Hilchos Christmas tree, what was the connection between the Christmas tree and Martin Luther King Day? like why it had, but then I realized he was in a job where he didn't work on Martin Luther King Day, right? So it was his day. Like we have a day to take the sukkah down, right? So, you know, so that was, you know, like the same thing. There are people here. I believe very strongly you start making the sukkah after Yom Kippur. That's the minag. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, right? But here you see people already starting to put their sukkah up, you know, days before, sometimes before Rosh Hashanah, people are putting up the walls of their sukkah. And my kids say, oh, we have to start putting up the sukkah. I say, nope, you don't start doing the sukkah until after Yom Kippur. So that's what he said. That was the siman. When this guy started getting, when he got the firewood delivery, that was the sign that the rainy season was upon us. The Gemara says,
why did it in the Hanukkah? It was the same for everybody. They had to heat with wood. Why do you think it mentioned a hunter?
It's like a local thing, right? So just like when I was a kid, people would want to know, like, you know, when is, you know, like I might have been able to say, somebody would want to know, like, how do I know when it's Martin Luther King Day? So I'd be able to say when Bill Ritz is carting his Christmas tree out to the curb. That's how you know it's Martin Luther King Day, right? In other words, it was they asked him a question. He wasn't stating a halakha for all ages. They asked him a question, right? So he gave them an answer with some kind of sign that they would recognize. In their town, everybody knew it was a big deal when this guy had the big firewood delivery, right? But the meaning of that may have been lost. But the Gemara says, V'dilma idi v'idi chad shiurahu. Maybe it's the same thing. In other words, maybe Shmuel agrees that you start saying it on the 60th day after the equinox. And you know what used to happen 60 days after the equinox in their neighborhood? The firewood delivery. That's when it would be done. Right? So it was a way of saying the same thing without making someone have to rely on the knowledge of when was the equinox and how many days have passed and etc., etc. Right? In other words, it was the same way, like, you know, each town has something you know, like here in Efrat, we celebrate the founding of Efrat on Lag BaOmer. Right? That's the, we have to mention that this week we lost a great Jew, that Moshko passed away, the founder of Efrat, the founder of Gush Etzion, the founder of the renewed Gush Etzion. He was a great Jew, a great builder of Churvot Eretz Yisrael, and a great builder of the Hityashvut and everything. And he died a ripe old age with many zchuyot, right? I have no doubt he went up straight to Gan Eden and started building a new neighborhood. So Efrat was founded, according to the local legend, on Lag BaOmer. And Efrat celebrates its birthday on Lag BaOmer. And at least on the round years, when it's 25 years, when it's 30 years, when it's... What year are we up to now, David?
It was 83, right?
Yeah. So we're coming up on a big, in 2 years, we'll have another big anniversary. And there'll be a big celebration, there'll be fireworks, and there'll be the whole thing. So when somebody says, oh, when can I start shaving again because of this Sfirat Omer? If I say, when they start, you know, when the fireworks go in Efrat, you can shave again. You can listen to music again. You can have weddings again. Right? So I'm not saying that the dinim of Sfiras HaOmer are connected to the celebration of Efrat. It would just be a local reference point for people that may not be carefully counting the Sfirat HaOmer every night and know tonight we're up to the 29th night, the 30th night, the 31st night. But the Gemara says probably these were synonyms. These were the same thing. So ini v'ha boi minei I skipped. Okay. So the Gemara says iboi lehu.
Why would the Gemara do that?
Why would the Gemara record Shmuel's answer?
Yeah, why would we it's the same answer. What do we need it for? What does it tell us? Why?
Not sure that you can ask that. That's the kind of question we ask on a Mishnah. The Gemara is full of colorful side points, which may not technically be necessary to tell us the din. But it could be.
Scheindel seems to indicate that it's a different date.
No, so in other words, the Gemara already suggests that it could be the same date, right? The idea that it could be the same date implies that it could be a different date. It could be that Shmuel is cholik and says that we go according to much more localized weather patterns. You know, now we have weather patterns like down. Like I can tell you the difference between the weather in the weather prediction in Rehavia versus the weather prediction in Har Nof. When we were kids, we didn't get such localized weather. We lived in central New Jersey. We listened to the New York City, local news broadcasts, and there was a weather report. So the weather report in Brooklyn is not always the same as the weather in central New Jersey, but it was good enough. They're just like it used to be that you'd get like a Zmanim calendar when was Hadlakat Neirot. So like everything in the greater New York metropolitan area had one Hadlakat Neirot calendar. Now you get these, down to the neighborhood. I can tell you the difference between Shkia in Zayit versus Shkia in Rimon, right? Because we can calculate down to the most minute minute marker in longitude and latitude.
But what I understand is if it's just another way of saying it's the same day, fine. That I can understand. It's colorful information. If it's giving us new information, why is that? It's giving us new information in one of two forms. A, you have to watch and see when this guy brings in his firewood. Then you know that it's time to say it. Or B, the date that this yucky guy, like your neighbor, always brings in his firewood, that's the date that it's different information.
No, either it's the same date. Either.
If it's the same date.
No, but maybe the point of Shmuel is that each area would do it at the time that the rainy season started there. And the rainy season where they were was considered to be this day when the firewood delivery would arrive.
That makes sense. Sort of like, right?
It happens not to be the halakha, but it's certainly a position which is considered, and it's considered by some Rishonim. Why should all of Chutz La'aretz have the same date for the start of rain? We know for a fact that's not how it works, right? The climate in Northern Europe is a lot different than the climate in Iraq of today, and it's a lot different than North America, which is a lot different than Australia. Forget the fact that the Southern Hemisphere is bechlal, completely off, 6 months off this whole thing, right? But the Jews in South Africa, the Jews in Australia, right? They're davening this up according to the calendar in Bavel. Like, it's one thing to say, like, okay, so everybody follows Eretz Yisrael. Everybody's really davening for Eretz Yisrael. We imagine we set the cycle of our calendar, like it's the calendar of Eretz Yisrael. So even if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you daven, like, aligned to it. But why in Australia, right, where it's the equivalent of April, when we're starting the rainy season, they're going into spring. When we're going into fall, they're going into spring. Why should they be davening to align themselves with the rains in Babylonia?
Is that what they do in Australia and South Africa?
Yeah. They start saying it on December 4th like everybody in the Northern Hemisphere. Right, because there's one din for Chutz La'aretz. So Rashi, well, let's finish the Gemara here. The Gemara says, "Iboy lehu." There's a question. Yom Shishim Kilifne Shishim O Kalachar Shishim? Is the 60th day like everything that came before, meaning we don't yet say it? Or is the 60th day like the second segment of time, in which case on the 60th you do, meaning is 60th the 60th day adva ad bechlal or adva lo ad bechlal? Is the 60th day the day you start saying it, or is it the last day you don't say it? So Tashma, come and listen to this. Come and listen to this, what we're about to say, which will solve the problem. Rav Amar, Yom Shishim Kelachar Shishim. That the 60th day is the beginning of the period that comes after, meaning you start saying it on the 60th. You start saying V'tein Talumatar on the 60th. Shmuel Amar, Yom Shishim Kelefnei Shishim. And he disagrees. Rav and Shmuel don't agree on so many things. Rav said the 60th day is the day you start saying it. And Shmuel said the 60th day itself is the last day you do not say it and you start reciting it on the 61st. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, v'simancha, the siman, the way to remember this machlokis between Rav and Shmuel has to do with, well, they were reflecting where they were. Ilo'e ba'umaya. Those that live above require water or require more water. Tate lo ba'umayim. And those that live below do not require water or do not require as much water. So what does that mean? What's above and below? So if you look back on the map, let's clear this. If you look back on the map, Shmuel lived in Nehardo, which was somewhere around here. Rav lived in Sura, which was somewhere, I think I got this right. No, maybe it was more like, hold on a second, let me check the, I'm sorry that I don't have a map that shows it.
It says here that in the Steinsoft that Shmuel lived in the lowlands of Babel, but that Rav learned in Eretz Yisrael. So
Rav lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel to become the Rav in Surah.
Right, but he's saying that the Eretz Yisrael is considered a higher elevation than Babel, and therefore that's what.
Yeah, so that's not how I'm explaining the Gemara. Nehardo is around here. Pumbedita is around here. Nehardo is around here. And Sura is around here. Right? Nehardo and Pumbedita are much closer to each other. And Sura was much further south. So, above and below, the way I'm explaining the Gemara, not the way Rav Steinsaltz says, is upriver and downriver. Right? The Euphrates flows from the northeast, from the northwest to the southeast. So if you live upstream, you have greater need for water. And if you have greater need for water, what's more likely? You'll start saying V'tein Talu Matar a day earlier or a day later?
Earlier.
So Rav, who lived, I'm sorry, so Shmuel, who lived upstream in Nehardo, he said on the 60th, you start saying it. And Rav, who lived downstream in Sura, he said, you start saying it a day later. In other words, Shmuel felt greater pressure for bringing on the rains. So in the debate about whether the 60th day is the day we start saying it, or it's the last day on which we don't say it, so their opinion, and this is a siman, this is not the reason, when the Gemara says this is the siman, it's like a memory tree, it's like a mnemonic, right, to help you remember the two shitot, and also to help you remember where each of them lived. The Gemara is not suggesting that this was the reason for their psak, right? But it shows that their psak halacha aligns with this other with this other fact. And the Gemara then says, Omer of Papa, Hilchasa Yom Shishim, Kila Achar Shishim. Right? The 60th day is the day we start reciting. It's the first day we start reciting it. It is, in fact, aligning with the opinion of Rav, who lived downstream in Sura. David points out that Rav Steinzelt says that Rav, before he got to Sura, lived in Eretz Yisrael. Lived in Eretz Yisrael, which is Elo'o. Right? In other words, there, it's not up is Naharda and down is Sura, right? It's up is Eretz Yisrael and down is all of Bavel, based upon this idea that Chazal had, that Eretz Yisrael is the most elevated of lands, which does not actually correspond with what we know about the elevation of the land masses.
Well, I mean, it was certainly like people were living in the river valleys were at a lower elevation, I assume, than people living in the mountains of Judah or the Galilee. I mean, the actual elevation was probably higher for this particular issue. And they're saying, you know, if you're higher up in the mountains, then you're going to have the need to water sooner. By the way, also Steinzel says has reverses your explanation of Rav and Shmuel.
Oh, yes.
Is it Rav? The Rav says, you know, the Rav is the one who wants the starting the earlier request for rain and Shmuel later. Based on the, I think, it was according to Rob, so the...
Oh.
Just depends how you understand the Yom Shishim, Kilachar Shishim, or...
No, you're right. I said that wrong. Did I switch them? Rav and Shmuel?
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying the Rav was in the lower part of Surah, yes. Was lower than he would have wanted it later.
I'm sorry, I switched, I said the wrong names. Rav lived in Narada and Shmuel lived in Surah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, right, that's what I did. I flipped the names.
Which one?
Rav lived upstream and therefore said there's greater need for rain. There's greater need for rain, and therefore they start on the 60th day. And Shmuel lived downstream and was less pressured, and he said, you start reciting it on the 61st day. I had, a moment ago, inadvertently reversed the names.
Pardon my ignorance. What's the difference upstream and downstream?
Oh, in other words, as the river flows further downstream, it gets larger and stronger, and you become less dependent on rain. Like in Mitzrayim, if you have the Nile, you don't care about rainfall. You have as much water to irrigate your crops as you need, even if there was no rainfall at all. So on the Euphrates, as the river goes downstream, it becomes much more effective device to irrigate your crops. The question of December 4th, 5th, the idea that all of Chutz La'aretz somehow accords with the rain patterns of Bavel is, of course, rather curious. We had seen earlier on Daf Dalid that the Gemara says that the Gemara had already introduced this idea that we start reciting B'teit HaLamat HaLevracha on the 7th of Cheshvan. So that people have time. You have these 15 days for the Olim to mostly get home. So when Hanania says that we start asking for rain on the 60th after the Tkufa, the Gemara says that he's talking about places like Bavel, where they have a lot of water, because they have these great rivers that irrigate everything that's going on, and they don't need rain until much later. In Eretz Yisrael, where we don't have these rivers, and we don't have these other natural bodies of fresh water to the degree that they have elsewhere, like in Mitzrayim, like in Bavel, so therefore we're much more dependent on rain, and therefore we get much more anxious about it, and therefore we start asking for it at as soon as reasonably possible after Sukkot. So there are some Rishonim that say that really there should be different times. There should be a kind of sliding scale for when we start asking for the rain, depending upon where you are. So in Eretz Yisrael, when there are Ole Regel, when people are coming to Yerushalayim for Pesach and rather for Sukkos, so we wait 15 days grace period to allow those people to get out of town before we start asking for rain. Which is Zion Cheshvan. In Eretz Yisrael, after Churban Abayit, after there's no more Aliyah L'Regel, why are we still waiting for Zion Cheshvan? In other words, really, the need for rain begins as soon as possible after Sukkot. We don't want rain before Sukkot, but as soon as possible after Sukkot, we want the rain. Horaya, we start saying Mashiv Baruch Amir Goshem. On Shmini Atzeret, we say
Mashiv Baruch.
Mashiv Baruch Amir Goshem. But we have this kind of window where we don't start actually actively requesting rain for 15 days. But if there's no need to keep the Ole Regel dry, so why not start saying V'tein Talu Matal Avracha on Sukkot itself? And then there's a third category of places, like Bavel, where rain is not needed, or in Mitzrayim, where rain is not needed until much later in the winter, and you can wait 60 days until afterwards. So the Rishonim make a whole variety of different suggestions. The Rif says that there's two options. The two options that we know of. The 7th of Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, and 60 days after the Tkufa, outside of its Eretz Yisrael, regardless of where you are, regardless of what your climate is, wherever you might be. He doesn't at all mention this idea of maybe you could start asking for rain immediately after Sukkot in the absence of the Beit HaMikdash. So in other words, that idea that we saw on Daf Dalet, that maybe really we could start asking for rain right after Sukkot, seems to be rejected by the Rif, rejected by the Rambam, rejected by others. Our Mishnah, says that the reason that we delay asking for rain until the 15th is because of the Ole Regel getting home. So why is this really still the halacha? Right? In other words, the clear implication should be we should really start saying it right after Sukkot. So it could be the reason that we do wait for it could be this is like a classical case of once the takana was made, it stays in effect. Right? Which is of course reminiscent of the idea of 2 days yantif. Right? The people that are agitated by 2 days yantif in Chutz La'aretz, so they can at least get a little nechama. Think of all the time they save between Sukkot and Zayin Cheshvan, not saying V'tein Talo Mata Levracha. That's, 15 days times 3 seconds a day minus, the two Shabbatot in between, the 13, that's like 39 seconds they save if they daven slowly for not saying V'tein Talo Mata. So that more than compensates for having an extra day of Yontif, seven times in 5 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. It's more than more than compensates. So that's the idea. It's a takana. That's the way Chazal made it. And even though it doesn't necessarily correspond to the reality of our fallen world, that's the way it is. The Ran gives another reason. The Ran says the reason we wait until Zayin Cheshvan even today is because it was the minog in the times of the Ran to go to Yerushalayim for Yantif Zecher La'aliyah L'Regel. Even after the Churban, there was a custom among some who were able to still go up to Yerushalayim. They couldn't bring karbonos, they couldn't do Aliyah L'Regel, they couldn't eat their bikurim, they couldn't bring their Maaser Sheni because they were Tamei, because of all of these things. But nevertheless, there was still, for many generations, there was a minhag of Zecher La'aliyah, which, by the way, we still have. Right? I mean, all those Yidden. When did the Ran live? The Ran lived in the 13th century?
He was a student of the Ramban, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
And where did he live? Oh, he lived in
Spain. He lived in Spain. He lived 1320 to 1380. So the Ran says that there was still a minug of people that were close by to Eretz Israel to go on Aliyah L'Regel, Zecher La'Aliyah L'Regel, which after all those people from Tinek and the Five Towns and whatnot that come to Yerushalayim to stay in the King David for Pesach, for Sukkot, etc., that's a kind of form of Zecher La'Aliyah L'Regel. So the Ran says, for those people alone are enough reason to wait 15 days, even though those people today that come to the King David, it doesn't take them 15 days to get home. It takes them 12 hours to go back on the plane. But nevertheless, the Ran says that because there's still this reason, but the implication of the Ran is that Enochinami, technically speaking, we probably should start saying V'tein Talumat Alevracha right away after Sukkot. But we have some kind of kvetch to say we'll keep the original minhag. In the Perusha Mishnayot, not in the Mishnah Torah, in the Perusha Mishnayot, the Rambam says that people should really start saying V'tein Talumat Alevracha dependent upon their own local weather patterns. Right? And it's in the state of nature, if the climate is working the way it's supposed to, on the average year, it's going to start raining at a certain time. And that rain is the rain that comes to that place, and the crops of that place are accustomed to being watered by nature according to that cycle. So the Rambam says, maybe really in Australia, they should start saying V'tein Talumat Alevracha in April. I mean, I don't know how the weather works in Australia. But let's say the weather in Australia worked in a cycle similar to Eretz Yisrael, but was just 6 months opposite because they're on the other side of the world. Right? Their fall begins in what we call April. I mean, they also call it April. Right? March, April. Right? While we're moving in, the northern hemisphere is moving into spring, they're moving into fall. So the Rambam suggests in the Perusha Mishnayot that each and every local community, or at least each and every greater area, should say Talu Matar based upon what's normal there. The time that you're supposed to want.
When would you say it in Egypt?
I don't know. There is a rainy season in Egypt. It does rain in Egypt. It's negligible. And it's less necessary because you have the Nile, but there is a rainy season in Egypt. I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it right now. And whenever that's supposed to be, that's when you would start saying. Now, this is not the halacha. We don't paskin like the Rambam. Nobody else paskins like the Rambam. And the Rambam doesn't even mention this idea in the Perusha Mishnayot. He does mention it in the Mishnah Torah, just in the Perusha Mishnah on our Mishnah here.
I pasted a link in the chat to an article by the Torvizion Cola, which was discussing what they do in the Southern Hemisphere, and they said there are those that give the psak that in the Southern Hemisphere they should say it at a different time.
Who?
You can see in the chat. It's with Shlomo Vosner and Rav Yitzchak Weiss. They give different ideas. So there have been different
those parties. Those are very significant Haredi poskim. Yeah. I was unaware of that.
I was curious if there's anyone who suggested moving the date up to the 20th November from December 5th, based on that same rationale, that you should do it when you really need it. And if we're going by the Gregorian calendar, did anyone ever discuss moving the request for rain up the date, those missing days?
You know perfectly well the answer to a question that begins, did anyone ever suggest? You know perfectly well answer is yes.
Has anyone ever given a psalm?
I don't know. But I'm sure people have discussed
it. The Gemara doesn't say December 5th. The Gemara just says what? 60 days after the Tkufa. Yeah.
But Lamaisa in the Mishneh Torah and the other Rishonim, they come upon this idea that really there are only two dates. Zion Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, and this date, which today we observe as December 4th or 5th, depending upon a leap year, in Chutz La'aretz. And that's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a question what a person in Eretz Yisrael should do if he finds himself temporarily in Chutz La'aretz. Right? In other words, if you travel to Chutz La'aretz between Zion Cheshvan and December 4th, what should you do? So our general principle is that you follow the minhag of your own place. Like if you're there just for a visit, you should continue saying v'tein talu mata levracha. It really only becomes an issue if you have to daven for the amud. So
exactly.
So some poskim will tell you, so don't daven for the amud. So then it really becomes an issue if, Rachman Litzlan, you're in Ovel, and you're being makbid to daven for the amud. In which case we say, then you can adjust your tefillah as the Shaliach Tzibur, because for that moment, as Shaliach Tzibur, you have to accord with the local custom. But others would say it's preferable not to daven for the amud in all cases, in order to avoid this particular problem. Okay. The Gemara, the Mishnah goes on. The first Mishnah, the Mishnah that we learned tonight, is talking about the normal world. Now, the next Mishnah really introduces the main topic of our Masechta, the abnormal world. When the train comes off the tracks, when the rain is not coming on schedule, what happens? Higia Yud Zayin B'mar Cheshvan, 10 days after we started saying v'tein talu mata levracha, v'lo yardug shamim, and the rain has not yet come, then what happens? And then 10 dapim into the mesechta, we now really get into the main topic. What happens when rain doesn't come? What does it mean when rain doesn't come? And what actions kick in order to help the theurgic process by which we try to manipulate the weather by manipulating God. We tell him we'll be good. You know, it's like we really are children. We really are children. Right? We know what we're supposed to do, and yet we don't do it. And when then there's a result, what do we say? We say, we'll be good. My nephew, when he was very small, my nephew's now married, he's a grown person. When he was very small, he was very clever, but he was also very mischievous. So he came to Israel, they live in America. They came for a visit to Israel one summer. He was a little kid, maybe he was like 5, 6, 7 years old. And you know, when you go on vacation with your parents, you know, you get a little spoiled. So I think he'd eaten ice cream 3 times that day already. And we went out to dinner to a restaurant. Remember Little Italy? Remember that restaurant? Right there where the Irian knows not to close down the streets in the mid between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, because all the American tourists are here. It was at the corner of you know, by the Inbal, by the corner of Jabotinsky and Karen Ayesod. So they had this display case, you know, this freezer section display case with all the fancy ice creams. And he was standing there staring at it. And he said, "Can I get ice cream?" And his mother said, "No, I think you've had enough ice cream today." And he said to me with this very devious look on his face, "I'm going to get ice cream. Watch, I'm going to get ice cream." And I said to him, "I really don't think you're going to get ice cream. Your mom just said so." And he said, "I have a plan. I'm going to be good." Right? He was the only kid that was able to make being good sound so evil. So that's what we do, right? We say to God, "Okay, we know what we're supposed to do. Send the rain." And then when the rain doesn't come, we act surprised. And then when the rain hasn't come, we say, "Okay, we'll be good." There's a process of tshuva, and if we do it sincerely, it's meant to have an effect. And that's the topic that the Gemara now gets into, beginning with this Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Yud, which we'll start next week. Okay. Laila Tov.
Laila Tov, Shkoyach, stay healthy.
Amen.